Okay, we're starting Ahava Rava, which is obviously a very, very special bracha. Some halachas of Ahava Rava all talks about Torah and the great zchus it is for us to be able to learn Torah, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. And the halacha is if a person did not see Birkas HaTorah and he gets up to Ahava Rava, he's yoytzei Birkas HaTorah with Ahava Rava. That's how much, how significant it is. It's a bracha which speaks to about Torah to the degree that if you said Ahava Rava, you're yoytzei Birkas HaTorah. It's a form of Birkas HaTorah. So let's say Shavuos morning, you don't have anybody to say Birkas HaTorah, and you know what to do, and then after davening a guy shows up, it's too late. After davening, you already said Ahava Rava. So Ahava Rava is
so you stayed up all night. Will you not be allowed to say Ahava Rava because you stayed up all night?
No. Ahava Rava is a bracha, but you could be yoytzei because of Torah with it.
Okay,
that's the point. So
if you come late to shul, chas v'shalom, and
well, you still have to say Birkas HaTorah because
you
can't say
Pesukei
DeZimra. No, you cannot say Birkas HaTorah after davening because you said Ahava Rava already.
Do Ahava Rava with the minyan?
That's what I'm saying. No, because once you said Ahava Rava, you're yoytzei Birkas HaTorah. Yeah, because sometimes a person will say Birkas HaSha'aron and forget Birkas HaSha'achar, say Baruch Shama Asher Yishtavach, bam, 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 and then after davening make it up. So first of all, you're not supposed to do that. I'll be sorry, I don't know why, because that's what I'm saying, but why you're not supposed to say Birkas HaSha'achar after davening? Well, Shtigal Torah, half in the Shama, I don't know exactly. Remember that shtickle?
You're redirecting the tsinaris and something like that.
So something to do with that. Yeah, your neshama comes in. A certain chelik of your neshama comes in by Baruch Hu. So if you're saying Baruch Hu with half a neshama or something, some inyan that you're not supposed to say Birkas HaShachar after davening. You have to say it where you're supposed to say it. But besides that, Birkas HaTorah you're not allowed to say after davening, because you already reyotzei Birkas HaTorah. Okay, but anyway, at any rate, and we discussed right away when starting Birkas Kriyas Shema that the significance of this whole bracha is about Oiris. Yotzei Ma'oiris. So very nice, Yotzei Ma'oiris. What does that have to do with Torah? And the answer is because, first of all, we cannot formally appreciate the bracha of Torah. It's a much more refined gift. It's much more of a refined gift that Hashem gave us, right? It's a gift that Hashem gave us that's refined. If you can't appreciate the gift of light that Hashem gave us, which Hashem gave the whole world, you surely will not be able to appreciate the gift of Torah, which is a much more dark thing. So first we have to appreciate the light. Also, first we have to appreciate those gifts which we're giving to everybody. When you want to thank somebody, right? So, you know, first you think, let's say your boss gave out gifts. So to everyone in the department, he gave out one gift, and then to you, you know, because you worked extra hard, he gave you a second gift. So first you have to think what he gave to everybody, and then what you specifically gave to me. So the first bracha is what you gave to the whole world, and the second bracha is Ahava Rava, what you gave to us specifically, to Klal Yisrael.
So he gave a lot of things to the world.
When we're talking about the oil. The
oil is specifically light.
Light.
As opposed to
what we said,
all kinds of things he gave to the world.
Light means the manifestation of his Hashgacha over the natural world, which is basically, that's what we were saying originally in the very first shir, which if you find it, you can listen to. It said when we introduced we said it's really a bracha on the entire Bria. It's really a bracha on the entire Bria that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us. So, and now we go into Ahava Rava about a bracha on Torah, which is specifically to us and to nobody else.
No, actually, in benching, if you think about it, it's the same parallel. You say, Azan is a kol.
And then we go.
And then we go. No dev, nei shalayim, rachim.
Yeah, azan is a kol.
The same thing.
Right. It's to everybody. Okay, that's true. Right. No, the chazal he gave us, and then Ahava Rava is also what he gave us. That's why there's a new ahava now. We're introducing the next bracha with ahava. It's a special love that you had for us. That you gave it to us. You gave us Torah. In the evening tefillah, we say the same thing. Same structure. We have Ma'ariv Aravim, talks about the Bria, and then we introduce Ava Soilam, which is the bracha on Torah as well. Right? So we said that first week that this structure also exists in Tehillim, in Kapitel, the Kapitel that we say, L'Menatzech L'Gorel David, we say Shabbos morning, right?
Yeah.
It's on page, in this sitter, it's page 172. Your test, on the Shemayim Misaprim Kvoid Kel, Umasa Yodav Magid Arakia. We talk about how great the sky is, and how great the sun is. And then we say, Torah is Hashem Tamima, Meshivas Nafesh, Eidus Hashem Neimon, Machkimas Pesi. Again, we transfer into Torah.
Wow.
Why do we do that? So the answer is because both of these things are forms of light. One is the physical light, one is the spiritual light. The physical light is what Hashem uses to enlighten the world, but that's in a physical way, so you could see. But we're also in spiritual darkness without the Torah. That we could see, but we don't really know where we're going. Right? If you don't have the Torah, so the it's the same thing as a dark room, right? If this room would be dark right now, look how much furniture is in here. You wouldn't be able to walk from here to here without bumping yourself 16 times, right? Now, what the light does is allows you to maneuver. So in the spiritual world, it's the same way. We wouldn't know how to get move from point A to point B without the Torah. The Torah is what directs our life. So therefore, we thank Hashem for the physical light and the spiritual light. And that's the Seder HaDavar, both in the Kapitel Tehillim, the Maral. Maral makes that point. And in the Seder HaBrachas that we say Shachris and Ma'ariv. So we say Ahava Rabba. We introduce this with the tremendous Ahava. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Ahava. This is also referenced, by the way, in Tefillah for Shloshel Regalim. It says, Ata v'charton mikol ahamim, ahav to yisonu v'ratzis abonu. So the Siddur Gros says, Ata v'charton mikol ahamim is on Pesach, that was the Bechir of Kol Yisrael. Ahav to yisonu shuas is through the year Ahava to us, you gave us Torah. And then Ratzis Abanu is Sukkis, is you had a special Rotzen for us, so you gave us Anani HaKavod, and you took us back after the Chet HaEgel, etc. So you see also where the Torah, in the Midah of Ahava, is where is expressed through that which Hashem gave us, the Torah.
It's actually in the Sfaradim say Abba Zoylam instead of Abba Rabba.
Well, we also say it at Ma'ariv, and you have to know what's the difference. But, one moment. I think that there's a Mishnah in Ovis, which is the similar idea.
What we're saying, it sounds like Abba Rabba would be better right Nusa.
I'm not sure what the difference is. One second. Where's that Mishnah?
Pirkei Avos.
Here, the Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelim, 249, Mishnah Yud Ches and Perek Gimel says Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelim. Chivi Yisera Noydlo Shenivra Betzelim, right? And then the same thing was, it says Chaviv in Yisrael Shenitan Lam Kli Chemda. The Kaisel's Chaviv to Hashem. Chaviv means beloved to Hashem. And where is that manifested? In that he gave us his Kli Chemda. He gave us the Torah. Chi b'yaseres nedas lam shnitan lam Kli Chemda. He told us that. So the Hashem giving us the Torah comes from an ahava to us. It comes from a chiba to us. And that's the primary midah through which Hashem gave us the Torah. Ahava rabba ahavtonu Hashem Elokeinu. Chemla gedoyla v'yiseira chomal ta'alino. And also, you demonstrated to us a tremendous chemla. Now, chemla is an interesting word. because what does it mean exactly? We were just learning now with I don't know. There are different words used, so it's a little bit strange. We're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave us the Torah through a tremendous ahava, and furthermore, you gave it to us through a tremendous chemla. Can you give me a Shmuel Aleph? You know, the red set of Navi with the Malbim. You know what it is? The top shelf. Shmuel Aleph. So, besides that, you gave us the Torah through a through tremendous ahava. Oh, sorry, I got you there. Okay.
No, I'm fine.
Besides that, you gave us the Torah through tremendous ahava. You gave us a Torah through a tremendous chemla. What's this word chemla? It's a little bit funny. It's a little bit of a... It's almost like, okay, it was like a desperation. Out of pity, out of rachmonos, like we're in Nebuch, we had nothing, we were in the Midbar, so you gave us Torah. I mean, it's like, it's almost counter to what Ahava indicates. Ahava is like, you're elevating us. And chemla is like, okay, you know... Ahava, you gave me a gift. You know, it's great. Chemla is like, okay, you need a couple bucks because, you know, you got to get yourself a burger at McDonald's for supper because you're desperate. You know? So it's like the opposite of it. So, but Victor Miller says, first of all, the word chemla does not indicate it's not the same as rachmanus. We'll see, rachmanus is something else. Rachmanus is plain, you know, mercy. Chemla comes out of a mercy of love. In other words, you want so badly for the person to be successful, so therefore you give them this. Because without it, you know they won't be successful. So it's more like a care than a pity. Than we said compassion maybe is, or something like that. It comes out of it's more like a desire, right? Like it says. Whenever you find, like let's say by the Mesis Umeidiach, it says Lisachat Lisachmoil Olav. Don't have chemla on him. It doesn't say don't have rachmanas on him. Rachman, I feel bad for him, but so what? The mitzvah is to kill him. He was Mesis Umeidiach, right? He tried to convince people to go for the Zara. So of course, I have rachmanas, maybe I feel bad. You know, I'm going to have Rachmanis and Nebuch is going to die, but I'm going to kill him, right? What's Chemla? Chemla is a little different. Chemla is, in other words, you think he doesn't deserve to die. It's like you see the good in it. You try to find the good in it. Right? It's like uplifting the person. You know, it's more like a desire. There's a famous verse from the Malbim that the Malbim says when Shaul saved Agag. He decided not to kill the Agag, the king of Amalek. So there was a taina on him. It says, "Vayomer Shmuel, Vayomer Shaul." You know where we got this song? Me Amalek yehviu. Right? Shmuel asked him, "Why do I hear the voices of the animals?" So they brought him from Amalek. Asher chamal ha'am al metav atzayin. That they were. They were choymel on the Meitav Atzayin. So...
They? Who is they?
The people. So, they were choymel on the Tzayin.
Jewish people? The
the Jewish people didn't...
didn't want to kill him.
Yeah. So he says the same thing. He says, it doesn't say that Rachmonis. The Malbim says that Chemla. Chemla means that they saw the good in it. They desired to keep it. They wanted to uplift the tzayin. They said, why should I kill them? I'd rather bring them as korbanos to Hashem. It'll bring out a greater tachlis, said chemla on it. It's like seeing where I can use it in a better way. So that's really what the chemla was. The chemla was a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring out the best in us. So he was chemo on us to bring out the best in us through giving us the Torah. That's what the chemla is. So it's two midas of showing a certain, there's the ahava and then there's the chemla. Okay?
Is chemla kind of like dam makaf shtus in a way?
I don't know exactly. Yeah, I mean, maybe, it depends what you mean by that, but possibly. Okay? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Chemla Rabba, Chemla Gedoyla. Okay, and he gave us the Torah. Avinu Malkeinu. Then all of a sudden we say another thing. Now whenever we say Avinu Malkeinu, it means we're introducing a very important tefillah. And both of these midas indicate two different ways that Hashem is mashpia on us. Hashem is mashpia through that which He loves us, an Av. He gives us. I never saw this before, but Victor Miller says the word Av comes from the Shurish of Ahava.
What the hell is it?
Huh?
No,
Aleph and Beis. Ahav and Av are the same Shurish. Remember that? So Avinu comes from the Kadosh Baruch Hu's desire to give to us, and Malkeinu is from His tremendous Hashgacha in the world. So Avinu Malkeinu, Ba'avor Avoseinu, give us the Torah, Ba'avor Avoseinu, in the merit of our forefathers, Shebatru Becha, that they had bitachon in you, Atalamdeim, and you taught them Chukei Chaim, the basic tenets and Chukim of how to live. Kain techaneinu, so too you should have chain on us, who slamdeinu, teach us the Torah. So that's a pretty interesting request. So we say, you have tremendous love for us, you have chemla on us. You gave our forefathers the Torah, you give us the Torah on the schus of the forefathers. So that means we don't even think that we have enough schus that Hashem should even grant us the ability, the right to be able to learn Torah. Our whole right to learn Torah is because our forefathers got it already. So you should, we ask that you give us chayin. Chayin means that we don't deserve it at all. Just you have to find favor. And sometimes there's a chayin there. Chayin is an inexplicable,
translated as favor.
Right, an inexplicable favor that you could have. So you should give us chayin, and that's the schos through which you should give us the Torah. So, but what does it have to do with our forefathers? So I guess apparently, we don't believe that we really have enough schos to get it ourselves. Okay. Now, if you had to describe why did the forefathers get Torah, so I would have said the reason they got Torah is because they learned it. So that's not what it says here. It's unbelievable. It says, Avinu Akenu, give us the Torah. Ba'avu Avoseinu Shebotchu Becha. The reason they got the Torah is because they had bitachon in you. So what does that mean? I saw a few pshatim in this. The main pshat is from the Siddur Agra. Siddur Agra says, like this. The main thing which holds a person back from being Mekabel Torah is because he still thinks that he knows what's best for himself. So a person, right, Mekabel Chukei Hashem Yisbarach, Bashaloi Nizbar V'Nisam Es Beliboi, Asher Rak Hashem Yodea Livchor Zatoi V'Loi, V'Hu Lo Yada Me'uma. You have to come to the conclusion that the best thing for you is Torah, and that Hashem knows that. And you don't know anything more better than that. Akein molei gam adam tirdus uvil bulei hadas, and that's why you get involved with tirdus, because you're convinced that the only way you're going to know what you have to do what's best for you, and I got to go get involved in all these things. But our forefathers, because they were b'teach in Hashem, and they were moiser everything to Hashem, they knew they didn't have a choice. They knew that the best thing for them is to be Bi'ad Hashem, because there was nothing for them to do other than to have Bitachon. And they were Mekabel, everything that happened from Hashem. So they were Zoicha to connect to Hashem through the Torah. So in other words, the Bitachon, person needs Bitachon in Hashem in order to get Torah, because otherwise they're not fully relying on that the Torah is going to direct them and teach them what to do. So you have to have bitachon that this is the way of life, and there's no other options. You know, the pashut pshat is obviously is that a person is mekabel upon himself all Torah. Then ma'avir mimenu all derech eretz. That with a person can't really have Torah if he doesn't have bitachon, because he's going to be too worried about his business the whole time. So, but he's saying a little bit deeper. that a person has to, it's in terms of your whole way of life, that to let Torah teach you how to live, you need to have bitachon, that's the bitachon, full bitachon in Hashem.
Shouldn't we ask then for bitachon in this tefillah instead of asking the schos of the bitachon of the avos, we should get to
it? I guess that if you're asking for the schos of the bitachon, so obviously you have to be compatible with the Torah as well. So even though you will never reach that level, be talking like they had in the Midbar, but you are coming to the realization that to be compatible with Torah, you need to have bitachon. So in a chanami. Now similarly, in the Sifsei Chaim, he says that the bitachon that Klal Yisrael had was Nasa v'Nishma. Similar idea. They were b'teach that Hashem is going to do what's best for them. Hashem is not going to give them a bad deal. So by their bitachon in Hashem, they were able to say Nasa v'Nishma. And since they were able to say Nasa v'Nishma, that's how they were zoichin the Torah, unlike the nations in the world who did not have bitachon, and they asked Hashem, what's in the Torah, what's there, and they weren't makabel it in the end. So it's in the zchus of the bitachon. And that's how they were zoichin. And that's very meduyik. Here it says, matlamdim chukei chayim. It's a funny terminology. We don't usually refer to Torah this way. Chukei Chaim. So Torah says Chukei Chaim. Why does it talk about Chukim also more than all the other mitzvahs? So some people say because Chukim...
You don't understand why,
so it requires more bitachon. Right. It is the emes. But some say Chukei Chaim, or Schwab goes like this. Chukei Chaim, like in a chok is a law. In Hebrew, I don't know if that means anything.
A statute.
Right. Chukei Chaim doesn't mean chukim as opposed to mishpatim. Chukei Chaim means laws of living. Means it's teaching you how to live. So it's not just the words of Torah, but that Torah is the way of life. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a manual of how to live life. And since the manual for how to live life is the Torah, so that's what it means. You have to have full bitachon that this is going to work. Right? Person buys a machine, right? But he's too macho to actually look at the instructions of how to use it. Right? Not only is he too macho to do that, someone actually shows him, that's gonna break the machine if you keep doing it that way. You're supposed to turn it this way, not that way, you know? So he's like, give me the instruction booklet. I don't need this, right? So, and he wants to outsmart it, so it's not gonna work for him. Because the manufacturer knows how to work the machine better than this guy, right? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the manual, essentially. But you have to be talking that it's the manual, because otherwise it's not going to work for you. Right? And by the way, that perspective is a very healthy perspective in Yiddishkeit in general. There was an event here that they had a couple months ago, and someone spoke, and he said, Rabbi Jacobson, so he said, He was very funny as usual, but he said a very interesting thing, that this kid was complaining to him. He says, Pesach is man cheruseinu. So he says, cherus. I can't eat what I want. I can't read what I want. I can't spend time doing what I want. I can't, you know, wear what I want. I can't not wear what I don't want. I can't, you know, Shabbos is this. What's the cheres? I can't do anything. You know? So he told the guy, a marshal. So he said, listen. He said, you know, I just bought this new phone. So, not only I bought the new phone, it cost me $800 to buy this new phone. So I'm looking at it. I sent this company $800. Why I want to use it? So I open the manual. The first thing says, "Don't do this. Don't put it in water. Don't. Who are you to tell me what to do with my phone? I just spent $800 on my phone. You're gonna tell me, water, not water? Oh yeah, bam, throw it in the bathtub. All right, that's it. I'm gonna show you. You know, you don't tell me what to do, what not to do with my phone. All right, I'm the boss. I just, if you would give me for free, maybe. But, you know, fine. I take it out. It's not working. You know, okay, whatever. So then there's, I pull out the manual again from the garbage, look in the back, troubleshooting, you know, okay, if it falls in the phone, put it in rice or something, you know, okay, so put in rice, who do you think you are, now you're telling me rice, you know, I don't want to put in rice, I want to put in peanut butter, you know, so he said, you know, it's the same thing, the Torah, it's not yeah, no. It's this is what makes a person successful. This is what makes a person into a human being, into a person that can connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu, fulfill the tachlis. Without this, you're not. So that's the bitachon that you need to have. Rebbe Sifsei Chaim says, just looking, he says unbelievable zach. He says, you know, doctors say, apparently, according to him at least, doctors say that you'll verify that a person's psychological state, you're probably not going to go for this, not your type of thing, but a person's psychological state has a lot to do with their physical health. So that means if a person doesn't think that they're going to survive a certain machala, a person who's strong is more likely to survive through a certain machala than a person who's not strong. Well, I've heard that from other doctors as well, and it doesn't strike me as your theory, your type of theory, but a person who's not convinced that they're going to survive is going to convince themselves that it's going to affect their physical state of being as well. So a person's giving medication but they don't really buy into it, it's not going to work as well as a person who's given medication and will buy into it. And you have the placebo effect as well, that if a person does buy into it, even though it's nothing, it will work, because the person's bought into it. So he says, Ruchni says the same thing, the bitachon is that you have to have bitachon, this is going to work. You have to have that bitachon, like Rabbi Kiva says. Rabbi Kiva said that I'm going to go learn Torah. Why did he say that? Because he saw the water dripping on the stone. And eventually the water in the stone, he saw that there was a little hole in the stone. So he said if the water can, after years and years and years, made a hole in the stone, then the Torah can for sure make a hole in my heart. Now, Rabbi Saul Salanter says, one second, which drop did it? Did any drop do it? Not only did not one drop do it, did any drop even do it a little bit? I mean, it would be very hard to tell, right? So when you're that rock and you're waiting to get that hole, and this water's hitting you, you're getting a little frustrated, why is nothing happening? Right? But it does, eventually. Right? So Rishon Santa says that's the same thing with Liman HaMusar. You don't see the effect, but it doesn't make a difference. Eventually, that's the whole point of that mashal. You don't have to see the effect. It's there. So that's this bitachon element, that the bitachon is in the Torah itself. It's a beautiful pshat. I'm not saying, I don't know if it's pasha pshat, but it's a beautiful pshat. That the bitachon is in the koyach of the Torah to change the person. That's exactly where you're going to get your bitachon from. So, he says a person, in order to shteig, needs to be convinced that this is going to be the way to shteig. Right? A person comes to learn, it's changing the person. You could see, you cannot see, it don't make a difference. I remember in yeshiva, so we're learning, and you know, one of the things is, you're in yeshiva, you're learning, you're hearing shir, so you want to be like, eventually you want to start thinking like there's yeshiva. You want to start being a lamdan like there's yeshiva, you know? So like every once in a while, like a bacha would be like, after shir, be like, I wonder if I'm becoming a lamdan or not, you know? So the point is, that like it's not like there's one thing that changes. It's not a point of okay, yeah, no. Constant involvement in something changes the person. So according to one pshat, that's what the pitachin is to a certain degree. Right? The Pashup Shad, of course, like we're saying, you have to have bitachon in your way of life, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control, and that you could dedicate your life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then by doing that, you'll be affected by the Torah. But there's another element, is the bitachon in the Nasav Nishma, that this is the proper way, this is what Hashem gave us, is correct. And more than that, that this is the Chukei Chaim. This is the way we should live our life. Kein Techoneinu Uslamadeinu. Okay.